Welcome back to the Jennifer and Wendy Show with Don Marsh for the next few days. Don and I are so happy to be joined by Nancy Schnobelin-Ims from STL Polished, and we thought what we would talk about here is re-gifting. Nancy, it's so good to see you again.
It's great to be with you, Jennifer, and Don, thank you.
Nice to see you again. It's been a long while since our paths crossed.
Yes, it has been.
You know, one of the things the three of us were talking about is how the holidays can become stressful. Royal Banks, Missouri, text line 84126 if you want to weigh in on this. But I think after a certain age, at least people who I know and my family and friends have stopped exchanging gifts.
You know, we were just, as you said, Jennifer, we were just chatting about that. And how many candles do we need, right? How many, you know, box cocktail napkins or whatever. I mean, it's a thought that counts, and it's all well and good, but I think it's better to give than receive and help out the charities.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids. It's basically about kids.
Yes.
Leave it at that, I say.
Before we get to the regifting, I know people who, if they receive a gift, they'd feel horrible if they have not bought a gift for that person in return. And then they feel obligated, you know, to go out and buy them one. And isn't there such a thing as just graciously accepting?
Very well said, Jennifer. And we've all experienced that, I'm sure. We're at meeting a friend for lunch or after dinner cocktail or whatnot, and they have a present for us, and we don't have anything for them, and we do feel so guilty and upset with ourselves that we didn't think of that. But you're right. Just saying thank you and maybe following up with a really nice, you know, heartfelt letter will do the trick.
And you have the whole year. You can do something in return later in the year.
Yes.
My wife and I don't exchange gifts at Christmas time. We simply, if we need something, we get it during the course of the year, and that's that.
I think there are a lot of people who are like that. But let's go over the do's and don'ts of regifting, Nancy.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, there's lots of them. But mostly what we have to really keep in mind is if somebody has made something special for you, in other words, whether it's their favorite fudge which can take a lot of time, by the way, right? Homemade fudge. Or if it's a needlepoint Christmas ornament, holiday ornament, maybe they painted you a picture because they know you love the ocean scenes or whatnot. So when you get something like that, they really put some meaning behind the gift. It's thoughtful. It goes beyond just going to the local gift shop or Amazon for that matter. So be mindful about that. You know, even though maybe you don't like the colors in the painting or you just don't need another suite to put on your counter, just be gracious and accept that. And above all, do not regift. That is too meaningful to regift.
I wonder how much regifting actually goes on. Do you think a lot?
Oh, Don. Hello.
I guess Don, there's the answer.
You probably have. I think we have a stash in our closet or somewhere in our house that we have regifting. I know I do. And I made a joke about candles. I love candles, but how many scented, Fraser fir candles can one have, or peppermint scented candles around the holiday time? So not to denounce your comment or anything like that, Don, but I do honestly think people are regifting more.
We shouldn't ask people to talk about the stash in their closet. We might get off on the wrong track here.
You should regift outside of your immediate circle of friends.
Well, think about it. You know, we all have different maybe clubs, a book club or bridge club or garden club, whatever it is. And if somebody doesn't exchange and they're in another club that you're involved in and you regift that gift, I mean, that's awkward. And that's disappointing to them. They put some thought into it. So, yes, if you are going to regift, be thoughtful about who that recipient is and not just say, oh, I need to get a gift and do it without thinking.
I think you really mentioned something there that's worth noting, and that is give some thought to it. A lot of people just get something to give something, mm-hmm. just to get it done.
Well, and to your point too, Don, it's the hustle and bustle of the holidays. Right. We're always frantic. I mean, traffic now is getting crazy. So standing in line for something is going to take longer just because people are doing things last minute. look, we are all busy, but if you're getting a gift for somebody, be thoughtful. If you know they love animals, maybe do something that's in that animal category, you know, pets or something. If you know that they love, you know, chocolate malt balls, well, then get them chocolate malt balls. Do something that they will enjoy.
Is there a fail-safe gift?
You know, that's a great question. I think, again, a fail-safe gift.
This always confuses me because you don't want to give a bottle of wine to somebody who's a recovering alcoholic.
Right.
And you don't want to give Christmas cookies to somebody who doesn't.
Or have dietary restrictions.
Right. And it's hard to know.
Right. I think, and okay, this is Nancy's suggestion here, taking them out for an experience, going to lunch, going to a show at the Fox, doing a quiet walk to catch up. Those are the gifts that can't go wrong, right? Those are the ones that touch your heart.
Let's talk about hostess gifts, because Nancy and I had a private conversation about this earlier. When somebody invites you to their home for dinner, shouldn't we all come with the hostess gift?
Ding, 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 ding. Yes!
And
What
should that be? I know there's some people who just maybe didn't grow up with the experience of going to other people's homes for dinner, so they're not familiar with it. They show up empty-handed.
Right.
But we really shouldn't show up empty-handed.
No, Jennifer. They're going to the effort of putting together a lovely dinner. Think about that. That's hugely time-consuming today, especially if they're working and juggling lots of responsibilities. If you know them personally and you do know that they like red or white wine, bring a bottle of wine, right? That's a sure, safe bet. Flowers? Who doesn't like a pretty poinsettia plant or
something that's already in the, so the hostess doesn't have to go look for a vase.
Yes. That would be very thoughtful. You know, we all could use, you know, note cards or things like that where we're always making our lists if we're not using our iPhone for that. I mean, there's things that we can do that just show respect and appreciation.
What about food? Should we ever bring food to a dinner party?
I think I'm going to give a plug out here to our local company, Bissinger's. I mean, and there's wonderful chocolate companies out there too. I mean, I'm not singling them out because all of our local small candy shops are worthy. I think a nice box of candy. I mean,
right, because you don't have to serve it then, but it's the gesture.
Yes. After dinner mints or something like that they could say, you know what? This was so nice. I am going to share it with the group. You know, and then that's really special because, you know, they're highlighting the gift that you gave.
How about a casserole?
Oh, Don. I bet yours are good. I bet your turkey tetrazzini is yummy.
I ask that because I heard something the other day about it's really something do not do because unless the cook specifically asks you to bring something.
Right. They put a lot of thought and planning into their dinner party. So chances are they already have the food, the menu sorted. But you could afterwards maybe send, you know, a pie or something that resonates with the dinner. Like, wow, that was so good. This is my favorite pie. I want you to try it. You know, I made the crust myself. Whatever it is. But you're right. I think I would not bring food unless it's something like a chocolate or truffles or
you know, brownies.
Brownies, why not? Right. Homemade.
Well, since we're on this topic, after somebody invites you to dinner or somewhere, let's talk about thank you notes. A dying art, perhaps.
Yes, Jennifer, I love that you bring this up because there's nothing, in my humble opinion, that is more rewarding than receiving a thank you note for the effort that you put through from hosting a dinner party to maybe taking somebody out for lunch, maybe just doing an act of kindness. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. A short little note with one or two sentences is all it takes to make somebody's day.
I know the answer to this question, but can it be an email?
You know, people today, again, they're busy. Yes, I'm not going to say can't be an email, but if you really want to set the gold standard, if you really want to show that extra effort, put it in the snail mail.
It really stands out. Yeah. I guess emails are better than nothing.
And people are texting, too. It's the thought that counts, right? But if you really want to go that extra mile, a really special note, I think.
But the handwritten note is much preferable.
Absolutely. There is absolutely no doubt about that.
You know, it's funny because many years ago I ran into a family. Jasmine Huda used to work at Channel 5.
And I love Jasmine.
I do too. And this family that pulled me aside and said, oh, you know, we watch you on TV. And Jasmine Huda did a story on us, and she wrote us a thank you note. And that just stuck with me because I was impressed. I think it's an important thing to teach your children. I'm glad my mom taught us.
Yes.
And in this day and age, more than ever, it stands out.
Well, and not only that, when I get a thank you note, I keep them.
I do too.
They mean something to me, especially in my work. We read them again, you know, or we keep them in a little stack and on our desk or something. So that just, again, elevates the power of the thank you note.
And people remember. My wife bought a nice gift for someone who shall remain nameless at one point, and it was never acknowledged in any way, shape, or form. And my wife still has her nose out of joint.
Well,
about
and then
that.
You wonder, no, maybe yeah. she gave it to them face to face. But if you send somebody a gift and you don't get an acknowledgement, you wonder if they even received
it.
That's
true.
The rule of thumb, especially during the holidays, is to do it within 2 weeks, right? But if you're at a dinner party or if somebody did something special for you, get it done within 3 days. It's easy to do. You can't overthink it. Sit down, get it done, and then the not only do you feel good, but the recipient will feel even better.
I have heard that a wedding gift does not have to be responded to for a full year.
Yes,
or up to a year.
Yes.
Responded to, or I know you have a year to give a wedding gift.
No, this is to respond to it. To
you have a whole
send
year
that
to respond.
Thank you note we're
right.
talking about.
It's odd, Don. You're absolutely right. Thinking that the bride is, you know, trying to get into her the bride and groom, are getting into their new roles as a couple, or. They're still getting gifts. People can, as you mentioned, send gifts up to a year. So, yeah, but again, you know what? Don't wait.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to wait. Just do it.
I'm glad to learn that. I didn't know that.
And most brides and grooms do that right away.
Yeah, they do. Nancy Schnoblin-Ims from STLPolish.com, thank you so much for joining us. It is always a pleasure.
Likewise, Jennifer and Don, and happy holidays, both of you.
Same
thank
to you,
you
Nancy.
Same to you.